Before the episode begins, we'd like to tell you about Impulse, meeting health pioneers. Impulse is the podcast where you will discover the latest advances in the medical field through conversations with the brightest minds changing how care is delivered. From the rehabilitation of paraplegics having lost the ability to walk, to revolutionary contraception methods for men, the podcast covers current and future wonders of medicine that are or will be transforming healthcare. Your host, Mathieu Chaffard, eagerly awaits you, so don't hesitate and go listen to fascinating episodes about medical advancements. You are listening to Science for Care. I am Anka Petre, and this show unveils the stories behind some of the most important scientific and medical breakthroughs of our time. The brilliant minds behind the microbiota revolution. How would you feel if I told you that you are not the only one that inhabits your body? Well, your body is host to anywhere from 10 to 100 trillion microorganisms that live in symbiosis. These microorganisms are bacteria, viruses, or fungi. But not to worry, they are not the bad kind of germs that make us sick or cause pandemics. Quite the opposite. They are good, if not excellent, for your health. These microorganisms that live inside us are called microbiota. Scientists know today that they are essential for our bodies to work properly. They support our digestion, strengthen our immune system, and can even help us combat diseases like cancer. In today's episode, I would like to share how the human microbiota were discovered and how they are used today to help patients. I will tell you the stories of the people that greatly impacted this field, and you will even get to meet one of them. Buckle up, here we go. One of the first descriptions of the microorganisms living on and in our body came from Antony van Leeuwenhoek in 1681 and 1683. At that time, he examined his own stools and dental plaque under a microscope and realized that they were made of what he called tiny animalcules. Fast forward to the second half of the 19th century, and you will find the first scientific papers about the bacteria that live in our gut. Researchers from the UK, Germany, and the US all published articles explaining that they found microorganisms in our intestines and feces. Then came a period of confusion. By the end of the 1880s, it was commonly acknowledged by the vast majority of physicians that germs cause diseases such as tuberculosis or cholera. But if germs cause diseases, what about all the microorganisms, which are also germs, that live in and on us? They don't seem to make us sick. At that point in time, scientists struggled to reach any conclusive results about the role our microbiota may play in our bodily functions. And then everything changed. In 1885 and 1886, Theodor Escherich, famous for discovering a bacteria we know today as Escherichia coli, published a series of articles explaining in much detail the microbiological composition of an infant's gut and the role it could play. Then, at the beginning of the 20th century, while Pasteur was studying pathogenic microorganisms, one of his students, Ilya Metchnikov, decided to study the properties of the non-pathogenic bacteria found in our gut. He is among the first to point out the benefits of those germs on our health and well-being. Believe it or not, he identified that lactic ferments found in milk or yogurt positively affect our digestive system. Yup, he is the one to blame for the dairy craze that still exists today. Our understanding of the human microbiota was impacted by the discovery and use of three major tools and techniques. The microscope, that allowed scientists to first see the germs. cellular culture that allowed them to grow microorganisms in a lab, and last but not least, DNA sequencing. This last technique is at the core of a 2007 initiative called the Human Microbiome Project, whose aim is to help the scientific community better understand our microbiota's genome and the role it plays in our health and our diseases. Before going any further, there is something we need to talk about: the gut-brain axis. Many of you probably use expressions such as having a gut feeling or feeling butterflies in our stomach. Well, this is no coincidence. In 2012, scientists discovered that our gut microbiota have a strong effect on our brain and our behavior. This is why we sometimes refer to our gut as our second brain. One aspect that is of great interest to scientists is the impact an imbalanced microbiota has on our physical and psychological well-being. The underlying idea is that if we can find the optimal composition of our gut, we could perhaps treat certain diseases that are caused or accentuated by an imbalanced microbiota. As promised at the beginning of today's episode, it is now time to meet one of the great minds involved in the study of microbiota. I am talking about Hervé Affagard, the CEO of MAT Pharma.
I'd like to start with the fact that it's important to restate that entrepreneurs and researchers, they have in common the fact that what they want to do is really to translate innovation from bench to bedside. Based on that, in December 2014, I've started to work with one of the key scientists on the field, Dr. Joël Doré from INRAE here in France, who is one of the world's most renowned researchers in the field. And we work together, in fact, with the concept of how can we help the patients based on this new microbiome science. And also to let you know that myself, I have a family history of GI disorders. And when I started to look at the microbiome together with my colleague, Joël Doré, I immediately thought that it's a new avenue for the patients. And I was very excited about that. Based on that, I also met with Seventure, and I did work as an entrepreneur in residence with Seventure during almost a year before we created the company in 2014. And that has enabled us to create a first level of network of scientists, entrepreneurs, people with financing, namely Seventure. And we started to work together in a win-win situation. Less than 2 years after inception of the company, we have started to treat the first patients.
MAT Pharma is not only the story of great scientists. It is also the story of great entrepreneurs that were able to take innovation out of the scope of a lab and apply it directly to patients. By the way, do you know where the name MAT Pharma comes from? MAT is the name of the Egyptian goddess representing balance and harmony, just like the balanced microbiota the company wishes to provide to their patients.
So this balance between the microbiome and the host, the patient, is very important. That's what we call symbiosis. And symbiosis is very important because those patients that we are treating, they are patients treated for what we call liquid tumors. It could be leukemia, lymphoma, myeloma. And those patients, they're going to receive a lot of treatments, starting with antibiotics, chemotherapies, stem cell transplantation. And at the end of the day, their microbiome will be absolutely destroyed. And that's important because not everybody knows that 80% of the immune cells, they reside within the gut. So once this equilibrium is broken, then you have an issue with the activity of your immune system. And what we want to do with this phase three is really to restore the microbiome of the patient that have failed to several line of treatment to treat what we call graft versus host disease, which is a stem cell rejection. So here we are taking stem cells from healthy donors, which is compatible with the recipient, the patient. But unfortunately, in certain patients, this stem cell transplantation will not work, and the stem cells transplanted to the patient will attack the tissues of the patient. And that will be mainly the gut, the skin, and the liver. And here we are targeting the patient that have developed a severe form of graft versus host disease with gastrointestinal involvement. And restoring the balance of those patients will help the patient to go through this difficult step in terms of their journey to be treated against the leukemia, for example. And the way we do it, in fact, is that we have built a kind of microbiome product which is containing the most important bacteria for the patient so that we can restore the immune homeostasis. And we will administer the drug to the patient. Today, we have treated already more than 100 patients on that setting. Results are pretty promising. We have completed a phase 2 a year ago. And now we have entered a phase 3 earlier this year in Europe with already several patients treated.
Matt Pharma's work is undeniably about to open new doors for patients suffering from cancer. Although we can all agree today that this is groundbreaking research, the road hasn't always been easy for the company.
So I always remember when I started in 2014, the company, I've met with several physicians and I faced a lot of skepticism. Because here you're saying to the doctors, let's restore the microbiome part of your patient and you're going to see that will be better for your patient. And that's, for a few of them, that's a little bit esoteric. So we have been through the process, and just to tell you a kind of story, I met with a certain doctors in 2014 and did not want to listen to us after the first hour. They say, okay, no way. And last year, at the most important congress for blood cancers, this physician, he has like several PhDs presenting posters on the microbiome. So in 7 years, we have transformed from skepticism to a lot of hope, and the doctors now, they want to be in the game when it comes to publishing interesting data. But at the very beginning, that was complicated. We had to find the early adopters, work with them to kind of explain the rationale. And I would say today, most in blood cancer, most of the doctors, they are converted to the microbiome. We still have some work to do, but that's very, very important. And this skepticism is going away, I would say, but we still have some key challenges. Today, there's no drug approved on our field. We expect the first drug will be approved in 2023. That will be a product against infectious disease. So the regulatory aspects are still a challenge. We need to go through the entire process, including the marketing authorization. We need to continue to produce science. We have a very strong science from academics, but now we need to find a way to be able to translate that science. And the bioproduction is important as well, because it's a new way of developing therapeutics, and we still need to develop some tools that are specific to the field, like, for example, for quality control and everything. It's specific to the microbiome world.
Science for Care is a podcast by Health Tech for Care, a nonprofit organization designed to support and promote access to care for all. If you enjoy our show, please mention it to your friends, family, and coworkers, and leave ratings and reviews on your favorite listening platform.